Listening is an important thing. It's something that sometimes it's hard for us to learn to do. And so in the course of our study tonight, this lesson will be a little bit of a different lesson than I normally preach. Sunday morning, we talked about the love of Jesus, you know, how that played out in his being a servant, how he showed his disciples to love like he loved. And we talked then about the human element in there, how Jesus talked to Martha and he rebuked her and she loved him. And the rich young ruler, it says in Mark's account that he loved him. And he said, if you really want to be made complete, you go sell everything that you've got, give to the poor, come follow me. And so we looked at that and then the compassion of Jesus, seeing how love played out. Later that day, in the two following lessons, then we talked from Romans chapter 12 about the kind of agape love that we need to have, the love of the brethren, that different word for love that we talked about. Then we also talked about honoring and respecting one another and then showing hospitality on top of those other things that we talked about there, how those all fit together and how as we practice hospitality, and although I didn't get to develop that like I would like to, it helps us bond together. It helps our relationship and it helps oftentimes open doors that we might touch the lives of people sometimes with the gospel, or that we might touch the lives of people that have already obeyed the gospel to help encourage them, to help them see a better way, maybe to be a shoulder to lean on as they're going through difficult times. So that tied together. And then last night we talked about the book of Romans, the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, and we studied the first eight chapters of Romans and saw how glorious this gospel is that we have. And until we understand the fact that we are lost and we will perish, we'll never appreciate the good news. And so that book was a powerful message that God gave us through the Apostle Paul. I sort of reviewed that to say tonight we're talking about a lesson that's a little different than that, learning to listen. The theme verse that they gave for that series of studies was from Proverbs 18:13. He who giveth an answer before he hears, it is folly and shame to him. And the statement Andy Dieselkamp made as he called me and asked me about this went this way. He says, our culture doesn't tolerate communication about things that are truly important. And that really sort of was the thrust of what they were trying to get out with the series of lessons last year. And so as we talk about learning to listen, it will be a skill hopefully that we can develop and it will affect us in many ways. It affects a lot of relationships. If you don't understand that number one means you haven't been married very long or never married at all. Number two, if you don't understand that, you need to listen up because it does make a huge difference. And it's not only in human relationships, but I mean, practically speaking, we're talking about we need to learn to listen to God. And so it certainly affects us in such ways. I kidded Andy last year. I thought maybe my wife bribed Andy to give me the subject, learning to listen, but he assured me he did not. And so we certainly understand there are a lot of things we ought not to listen to. You know, things like gossip, the filthy stuff that's on television or that we hear, you know, in life, or negative mindset, pity parties. But rather, the kinds of things that should come from our mouth should be wholesome, effective things, as we see in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29. Listening is a part of communication. I don't know if you've thought much about that word, but the idea of communicate means to have in common. So, you know, I tell Josh something, I speak it, but I haven't communicated it to him. If I just tell him, I have to get my message to him in such a way that he can understand it. So what's in my mind then is then conveyed to his mind. And that's really the picture we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 about God's communication to us. That he put spiritual thoughts with spiritual words so what was on God's mind could come down and lodge in our mind. That was the vehicle that he used, were the words that were inspired, spiritual thoughts with spiritual words to communicate his will to us so that we can listen. We got to study some in Jude this morning, and that was one of the messages, 27 new books in the New Testament. It's one of the messages God saw fit that we needed to have. And so every word that proceeds from the mouth of God certainly is valuable. We must learn to listen. It doesn't always take a lot of words to convey the message that needs to be made. And sometimes we sort of plug up the works because we talk too much. There was a little book, I'm not sure, probably 35 years ago that was written, maybe 40 years ago, and it was entitled The One-Minute Manager. and the thrust, it was used in business schools and all, but the thrust is that you don't have to talk somebody to death. You're a manager, you say, you know, Ryan, I really appreciated the good job you did on that. I'm real proud of you, son. You know, and you're going about your business. Or, I was disappointed. I thought you were going to get this done and you didn't get it done. I have more confidence in you than that. I know you'll get it done by tomorrow. So that doesn't take a lot of words, but you're getting directly to the point. But that's a part of communication. And, of course, as we think about communication itself, there are a lot of people that just listen, sort of. They don't get what you're trying to say. And one of the problems that we suffer with is that our self-centeredness and our preoccupation can get in the way of our effective listening. So we'll directly and indirectly have more to say about that along the way. But sometimes we're thinking about our own stuff or ourself or, you know, how this affects me, and we're not really thinking about the other person. And so those kinds of mindsets can get in the way of us being good and effective listeners. Well, the mechanics of listening, of course, you've got someone talking and someone hearing. Definition of listening means to make an effort to hear something, to be alert, ready to hear something. So I've got to be ready. I've got to be of a mindset that I am ready to hear. And there are many passages in the scriptures that tell us along that line of things associated with that. Matthew 13:9, he that hath an ear, let him hear. The parable of the sower. I think of that phrase, I think of the book of Revelation chapter 2 and 3, the seven churches of Asia. The Spirit says, and then it ends with saying, he that hath an ear, let him hear. Now, that's not talking about if you can run around and find a man that's got these two hunks of meat on the side of his head. We've got those. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about something deeper than that. The mindset or the frame of mind that is willing to listen and to imbibe or partake of those things that are spoken, in this case, to the various churches of Asia. And so looking at that, there certainly is a real distinction between simply hearing things and really listening to the message. Now, our little children, we try to teach them sometimes songs to help them remember spiritual truths. And you remember the wise man built his house upon the something. What was that? Yeah, see, we all know that. He built it upon the rock. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. But then you say, you know, what's the difference between those two? And as you look at the text, it very specifically tells you the whole point of those stories. It's not to tell you about construction. It's to tell you, you know, the same kind of thing happens in construction that happens in regard to whether or not we hear and do what the Lord said. The foolish man was the fellow who heard the message. In this case, the Sermon on the Mount and the other things that Jesus would have to say. The foolish man was the man who heard the things that God had to say, but did not make the changes. He did not do them. The wise man, however, was the person who heard these things and said, I will do them, and then did them. I'll tell you, brethren, that doesn't take a PhD. You don't have to have a blazing IQ. As a matter of fact, sometimes that blazing IQ does not get in the way. God gave this one book to all men for all time until Jesus comes again. And he expects people to be able to understand it. The old adage, if you preach so a third grader can understand it, eventually the PhD will catch on. But we can hear and understand. But there is the point here is there's a difference between simply hearing stuff. Now, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands here. And certainly I don't want any sharp elbows. But how many times husbands... as your wife talked to you, and you sort of heard what she said, but you really didn't listen to her. I'm not asking for your hands, okay? And so we know the simple process that we're talking about, so we just want to work at overcoming that. Maybe sometime I might have been talking to one of my boys when they're growing up, or now my grandsons. I'd say, you look at them, you're talking to them, and they're preoccupied with a new toy or something, or they're busy doing something. I'd say, now, son, are you listening? I'm trying to get his attention. I want him to get the message. Some grandma said one time, I'm not really sure where this came from, but God gave us one mouth and two ears. Use them appropriately. Sometimes I think I've got two mouths and one ear, and that doesn't work out real well. It looks sort of funny, too. But there's something to be said for that we need to learn to listen. And, of course, to listen in that way is going to cost us some time, and some energy to listen properly. And we can, you know, sometimes become distracted because maybe there are a lot of other things that are pressing us. And so we don't give the kind of attention that we need to, or maybe we're troubled about something. And so it's just hard to focus and to concentrate. But I have to be willing to surrender my time and my attention to effectively hear and receive such communication. Now, frankly, you know, there are some times where people sort of go on and on and on. You just need to, is there a point to this? Been there, done that? Sometimes people may want to talk to you, and you can tell maybe they want to talk for a while, and you've got an appointment here in 5 minutes or 10 minutes to be somewhere. And so one of the ways that you can go about maybe dealing with that is say, well, you know, I appreciate that, you know, Joe. I'm interested in what you have to say, but I have to be here in 5 minutes. Can you give me the short version now? And then a little later we can talk more about it. And that way you're showing interest, but you do have legitimate involvements and commitments here. And so again, you're still showing the person who's wanting to communicate to you, I care about you and what you have to say. And so, you know, that's sort of the golden rule kind of thing. You know, if the roles are reversed, that's what you would want. You would want that respect shown and that you do care. But sometimes we don't have the option for the 30-minute rendition of this 3-minute discussion. But it is helpful, certainly, for us to show the kind of respect. And I would suggest that Ephesians 4:15 says that we need to speak the truth in love, but that also that we should listen in love as well. That we need to listen with the right mindset. Again, I'm not intending to talk about home and family particularly tonight, but sometimes as husband and wife communication takes place, if we're having some friction and all, that we can sort of put the worst spin or not the better spin on things rather than looking at it in the best way. Love would compel us, whether we're talking about the family relationship or our brethren or our neighbor, that we try to put the best spin, the better spin on whatever is said. Have you ever been out with sunglasses? You know, it's getting on in the evening. You say, man, it's getting pretty dark. Everything you look at is getting dark. And then you take those sunglasses off. And, well, it's not so bad after all. Sometimes it's that way with certain people we may talk to. We've got our tinted glasses on and we sort of see everything, maybe not in their most favorable light. And so we need to change our thinking and our mindset about that the best we can, because love would compel us to do that with a caring and honest heart, to do good for the one who is listening. When I was preparing for this, I looked at one survey, and the question they had on this survey said that I would prefer to talk to people who are A, great listeners, or B, great talkers. Now stop and think about that. The question was, I prefer to talk to people who are great listeners or great talkers. 82%, they would rather talk to people who are great listeners. Now, I realize that's not scripture, but it ought to tell us something about human nature and about people. They want us to listen. They want to talk. And sometimes they need it desperately. Sometimes they don't have anybody to talk to, or they're having struggles and all. They need to talk, but it just tells us something about that. And people that are going to be effective friends and friendships are going to have an ear. They're going to have some patience. They're going to have to be willing to surrender time, aren't they, to have friendships. We were talking about that today, just a little bit. And so as we look at this, it's certainly very, very important. We need to look for the meaning and the intent of what the person is saying. We don't want to wrangle about words or self-promoting purposes. Sometimes people missay things, but we understand, oh, this is what they really meant. So don't pick stuff apart. What's their intent? What are they trying to tell us? Now, if you can't figure that out, you may have to ask a question. If I was talking to Ashley, now Ashley, my hearing is not as good as it used to be. Now, what was that? Did you say this or did you say that? And so there's legitimate ways to try to get clarity on that. But again, we'll think about that as we go on some more. We talked yesterday about being devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. And so that again, in Romans chapter 12 and in verse 10, I'm sorry, not yesterday, the day before, that we talked about that shows the attitude that we have. And as we have such an attitude, it affects the relationship that we have with people. They can tend to read that. If I'm arrogant and stuck in myself and centered on me and not thinking about them, most of the time people can read that, can't they? But if they know that you really do care, then that takes you two or three steps in the right direction of being able to communicate with them and being able to help in whatever that is. There was a commercial on television, and we don't have our TV hooked up, so I'm way out of date on this, but it was about financial investing, I think. And there's this guy, and he's sitting in this office, and this guy's in a leather chair taking notes, and this other fellow's laying back on a counselee couch, and he's back there, and he's talking, and I had this dream or something, I forget what it was, and it troubled me. And then finally, the counselor, he starts speaking, but he's speaking in Spanish. He doesn't understand a word the guy is saying. You know, that doesn't help in communication, does it? And he says, it doesn't make much sense in counseling, and it doesn't make much sense in investing if you have no idea what they're saying or what they have no idea what you're saying. And so the point being, again, is this need for clarity in our communication. Well, let's think for a minute about some hindrances to effective listening. The first thing, the big rule number one when we are talking about listening is stop talking. When you're supposed to be, we're not done with this, so hold on. When you're supposed to be listening, stop talking. But that doesn't just mean with your lips, that means with your head also. A lot of times we close our lips, but our brain, we're still thinking about what we're wanting to say or what we're wanting to respond, or did you think about me or whatever it might be, we're still thinking. So we need to stop that. We need to stop talking, and that includes inside my head. I need to stay focused, and I need to listen. If you don't take anything else away from the lesson tonight, if you get that point, it'll be worth the whole time that we've spent here. There were a number of folks that said something about that particular point. I had some folks write me afterwards and say they appreciated that, because we all sort of struggle with that. I need to learn to listen. And if I'm thinking about what I'm going to respond, what I'm going to do, what I'm thinking about this, I'm not listening. I'll get my chance, and I'll get my time, but certainly that is a critical thing. We are easily preoccupied with things, and a lot of things certainly can distract us so that we don't hear well. When I was in college, I had been in the Army already and had a few years behind me, and so I was the old man. I mean, I was probably 25. I was an old man in college compared to a lot of the students. But I'd come into a class, it didn't matter how small or large it was, I'd get right in the front seat, right in front of the class, and it was, as far as I was concerned, it was the professor and myself. We're the only two in the class, and that wasn't an egotistical thing, but look, I'm here to learn. I don't want any distractions. I want to hear what's said, and I want to challenge that. And so to me, it was a one-on-one. And that's the way listening and communication, it's you and me when we're talking. Now, confession time. I don't always do that as well as I should. Sometimes I got a lot of other things pressing my mind, or emotional trauma things going on in my life. And sometimes, you know, there are things just going on around. I get distracted and pull myself back over. But we all sort of have to do that, don't we? But that's a decision that we make. And as we find ourself in a conversation starting to drift over here, we need to grab ourselves, pull ourselves back over here. That's a conscious decision that we make. And when we're communicating, there certainly are hindrances. One of the things is sometimes we will start into a communication as the one speaking or hearing, and the speaker and the hearer not in the same place. Have you ever done that? You started, maybe if we talk about husband and wife, you start a conversation, you go off, you're talking about something, but you haven't given them an idea what you're talking about. You were thinking about it, and you're just so close, so you just go off and say, wait a minute, now, who are we talking about here? You know, what's this discussion about? So we've got to figure out where we are, and we've got to start where that person is. That's one of the points we make in the book of Acts, the 8th chapter, with Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. He started in Isaiah 53, that's where the eunuch was studying from. He started from this passage and he preached to him Jesus in verse 35. And so we have to start from where people are at. Now, if you want to talk with me about insurance and you want to talk about some of these highfalutin things I don't know anything about, you're going to have to come down here and pick me up and bring me up to that point, aren't you? Or if you want to tell me about gas prices and, you know, natural gas or whatever it might be, and you know how all that goes, it's, well, okay, I know what natural gas is, but you're going to have to bring me from where I'm at to where the conversation's at. And so that's always true, whether we're talking about our brethren, our husband, a parent and a child. As parents, oftentimes we perceive things, we understand things. It's so easy for us. They don't have a clue. They have no point of reference. And so we have to learn that in whatever conversation that we are in. And if you're a person that likes to talk a lot, let me say this. There are some conversations that I work a long time trying to figure out where somebody's going. And I'm not being mean by this. I'm just saying this is how life works. And somebody will start talking and they'll go on. And I'm trying to follow them and over here. If it's going to be long and sort of meandering, something that is helpful, if you'll just start in the beginning and say, I want to talk to you about this. And that way, I've got an idea where we're going. Otherwise, I got my blindfold on until we get there. And so that is really helpful. I know some folks, and I won't give you any particulars about this, but I know a fellow who told his wife, he called her name and said, take a breath. She talks, and I love her to pieces. She's dear to my heart. And she does better about that, okay? But, you know, we're all different. And other people, you can't hardly pry words out of. And so then there's a whole spectrum in between, but it helps for us to know where we are going. And so that is helpful along the way. So get rid of the distractions. And, you know, if it's going to be a long, drawn-out process, say, you know, here's what we're talking about. Here's where we're going. And certainly as we're doing this, we already mentioned we need to stop talking. But let the person finish the narrative that they have started. Let them finish talking. Now, there are some people that are very sensitive about that. And if you interrupt, even if it's a legitimate interruption, sometimes they feel like they've been sort of jilted in the conversation. And so be careful about that. There's a time where certainly you have to stop and hear, listen for a while. Sometimes you have to ask a question just to figure out where they're going. But just be careful. Let them finish what they're talking about so that you have all the facts. And that goes along with the proverb verse that we read at the beginning, which we find in James chapter 1 and 9, verse 19 in a different way. Be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. And as we read Proverbs 18:13 earlier, he who gives an answer before he hears, it is folly and shame to him. So we need to listen. We need to quit talking. We need to listen till they communicate, and then we start responding. And brethren, that's also true as we try to reach our friends and neighbors with the gospel. Sometimes we are so urgent to, we want them to know this truth, that we don't listen. And sometimes what happens, if we listen for a while, they open the door for us to see the opportunity, how to connect, how to reach them. And some people have almost like a sixth sense about that through natural ability and practice, but it's something we can learn. So let them speak for a while. Be swift to hear and slow to speak. In John 7:51, talking about Jesus, Nicodemus says, our law does not judge a man unless it first hears from him and knows what he is doing, does it? I believe it's Nicodemus who said that on that occasion. But you know, the law doesn't judge until it first hears a man. Now, there are some writings known as the Talmud, and it contained the opinions and the thoughts, the writings of many rabbis. And so there's just lots of things written in there. But a quote that comes from the Talmud, in Abath 5:10, it says, I weighed all things in the balance and found nothing lighter than meal. Lighter than meal is the betrothed man who dwells in the house of his intended father-in-law. Lighter than he is a guest who introduces a friend. And lighter than he is the man who answers before he has heard the other's speech. And so that's just an interesting commentary, how they're trying to get to the point that we're talking about tonight. I mean, it is inappropriate not to listen, to speak before the other man has finished what he has to say. In dealing with people, certainly there are a number of things that affect it. Sometimes the lack of integrity of a person that you're talking with certainly affects the communication. If you know them, know that they have demonstrated they don't have any character, you still have to listen. you still have to be mindful. But on the other side, there are some people maybe you've been long friends with. Maybe you haven't even seen them for a while, but you know their character, and you've got deep and tight and buys, and you get together, and I mean, you can just take off talking, talk about whatever you want. You don't feel threatened. You know they're not going to use it in a bad way. Their character's good. So here's a major contrast. But you make a judgment about that, about the person and about their character. Be careful that you don't allow that preconceived mindset to cause you not to listen and not to give them a fair hearing. And again, sometimes that can be hard. Not many years after I moved to Casey, there was a young lady who was not behaving herself very well, and she was seeing a guy in town who did not behave himself at all. He made no claims to be a Christian. And he was known for being a liar. And so I sat down to talk with him going into this knowing that he is a liar. But by the time we were done, I'm saying, well, maybe so. He was good. I knew going into that, that was his character. And afterwards, you know, it proved out that he was just smooth. And so, again, you consider people in the midst of all this. Integrity plays into it. But again, we want to make sure that our attitude is such that we hear appropriately. Some people have a quick-witted answer to everything. Sometimes they're very bright people. That doesn't necessarily reflect substance to what they have to say. It just means they're quick-witted. And usually, if it's that way, they're thinking more about themselves than they are the person they're talking to. So we need to be careful. Now, I'm in for good humor, and I like that, and quick-wittedness, that's fun. So I'm not putting that down, but we want to listen. We don't have to have a smart answer or smart aleck answer to everything that is said. And so there's the right, there's a time, and there's a place, like Ecclesiastes chapter 3 says, for everything. And so use that. And remember, certainly, that conversations are not one-sided. Some people just want to talk nonstop. But what we need to do is understand that this idea of communication is a give and take. It's a two-part thing. In the book of Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 2, a fool does not delight in understanding, but only in revealing his own mind. I was in a situation a year and a half ago, and I'll just say I was with someone, and they said, it seems like this person only listens so they can get a chance to talk. That they're not really listening. They will be quiet for long enough for you to say what you've got to say, just so they get to talk. And so that's not a good scenario either, is it? And it gets back to the fundamentals that we've been talking about so far during this hour, that our love and care and respect for other people is such that this will be a two-part situation, not one-sided, that we do care. And as they know that we care, it gives us an opportunity, hopefully, to help them and to communicate with them. Sometimes in our communication, we have to ask for clarification. When you know that you're not understanding, now I'm at a place in life where my hearing is not as good as it used to be. And I had my ears tested last year, right after I gave this lesson. By the request of my wife and my father, both. And my ears were sort of normal for my age, but when there's very much noise around, I just don't hear very well. And so sometimes I have to ask people to repeat the name, or should I didn't catch that. What did you say again? My hearing's not real good. Now, that's okay. You know, you're trying to hear, you're trying to listen. And so, you know, there are some issues. But really, the listening issue that we're talking about tonight is not the three nerves that work in your ears. It's not the mechanics of the ear that we're talking about, but it's the mindset. It's the heart and all that's driven behind that. And so looking at that, you know, we want to make sure that we understand. My father, I remember as a boy, told me that when he would be getting some directions or instructions from his boss at work, that what he would sort of do is repeat some of it. Now, you said you want this done and this done and this done. And that does a couple things. Number one is by repeating that, it helps you to remember it. But number two, it helps in this communication process. This is why you spoke. This is what I understand. I'm telling you, this is what I heard. Is that correct? Now, he didn't just parrot it like a tape recorder and play it back. He didn't belittle the guy or anything. But he was just confirming that this communication was clear. And oftentimes we find situations where that is helpful to us. Well, there are things that can help in communication. Again, we go back to stop talking. That includes in your head. Stop talking. Listen along the way. When you see a situation where there is no communication taking place, that you know that that is not particularly a healthy situation, that there is some friction or some problems, if there's a breakdown where communication is not taking place, whether it's between brethren, whether it's between a husband and wife, parents and children, you know that there's some issues of the healthiness of that relationship. And so we need to work on that. I'm going to skip over some technical data that I had here from technical literature about competitive, combative listening, passive, attentive listening, and active and reflective listening, and all that stuff. But it just says, you know, there are different kinds of people. Some people don't listen very well. Some people listen so that they can argue. Some people do this, but we're not going to deal with all that. But here are some things associated with active listening. Number one, when we listen carefully and actively, it makes people feel worthy and respected when we listen carefully. Now, my youngest son and daughter-in-law went to Florida College, and I remember I was talking with them. They had some doctrinal question, and they went to Buddy Payne, who at that time was not the president of the college. I think he is now. But he just knocked on the door and said, Dr. Payne, we have a question for you. Would you be able to talk about that? And he just waved him right. Just come right on here, just like they were his long time children, and talk to them. Now, he's a man that is very smart. Let me just tell you, he is very, very bright. But when you're talking to him that way, he's sort of like talking to an old friend. But a man of his import, yet he just take these two folks who are probably 20 years old, he just come right in here like he didn't have another thing in the world to do. That showed them a lot of respect, didn't it? And it shows that he had the spirit of a servant. And so as we think about our own communication, when we'll stop and really listen to people, we help them feel that they're worthy to be listened to and that we are showing them respect. And oftentimes that opens the door so that we can really help. Or sometimes you may find out what happens. They may end up helping you in ways that you didn't even realize. Ways that sometimes they didn't realize. And so that respect is just critical in our relationships and our communication. Try to listen through the eyes and the ears of kindness. Try to be kind and thoughtful and respectful in that way. Face the speaker when you're listening. Now, have you ever been in a situation dealing with someone, and they're off here, you're talking to them, but they're off. They're always doing something else. They're not looking at you. They're real attentive, aren't they? You ever done that, husbands? Wives, you ever done that? Now, I realize we're busy and there's a time and a place where we've got to push this. We've got to be out the door in a minute. And on that occasion, we go back to what I said a while ago. Can you give me the short version for just a minute? And we'll talk about it more after a while. But show the mutual respect. Whether we're talking about the family, the husband, wife, whether we're talking about brethren, however that is. Try to maintain reasonable eye contact. Now, sometimes that's harder than at other times, depending on the kind of conversation it is. Again, sometimes depending on how much distraction and things are going on in your own life, but try to keep a reasonable eye contact. There's a lot that is said about that, and there's studies of people that have done a lot of research into that, you know, where you look, how you look, your eye movement, about whether you're lying or not. Our body, our eyes and capacities, and women are especially good about this for some reason. I think it's the way their brain is wired and they see it. But those small eye movements and everything that you don't even catch openly, your brain registers some of that. And so your wife says, you know, I've got this gut feeling. There's something not right here. My wife tells me that. You know what I do? I put a big flag and I listen. Because there's lots of little cues that we don't sometimes openly see, but that we can catch. So be honest. You don't have anything to fear. You be honest. Reasonable eye contact. Minimize, as we said, external distractions, things that draw us away. Respond appropriately. Now, over in India, what they do something that would be annoying to us, which is what I used to do to my wife when I'd come home from India. They sort of bob their head and go, about every sentence or two. Now, to us, that gets to be annoying. When you're there, you get used to it. But what they are saying is, yeah, I follow you, Ah, yes, okay, I got you. Yeah. And so they are responding. They're keeping themselves from drifting. They are affirming and reaffirming to you, I am listening carefully to what you're saying. Like I said, that was annoying when I came home to my wife. And I'd be bobbing my head. But she was patient with me. But still, what we find is that you see that appropriate response, that I'm listening and focus solely on what the speaker is saying. And especially in important conversations, you make the effort to stay focused and follow very carefully along the way. Even if a person is launching a complaint against you, wait until they are finished to defend yourself or to respond appropriately. Now, I'm just telling you from experience, brother, sometimes that's hard to do. I had a friend of mine come to me a few years ago, and he was being considered, he's put forward to possibly become an elder. Some people put him forward, and there's somebody in the congregation who didn't think that he should be, and it's not where I live, it's away from here. None of you know this person, I doubt. And so we started talking, and he said, this person said this and this and this. And so what I told him is what I've tried to do myself, not always effectively as I should, but the first question that I ask when I'm being attacked isn't, are they doing it nicely? Isn't, are they doing as kindly as they should? The first question, is it true? I tell you, that's hard. And sometimes I don't like the answer. Sometimes it's true. But I need to listen. Now, there's a way to respond. Maybe you'd say, well, you know, I didn't realize that, brother. Didn't realize that, you know, I came across arrogantly or that I wouldn't shut up and give you a chance to talk or 100 of whatever it might be. Just making, pulling stuff out of the air here. But you respond appropriately or you take your time. Well, I see how you might have seen it that way. But here's the rest of the information. Here's what really happened. So that really wasn't so. And, you know, here's these three people who were there at the same time who saw this. And so it is okay to respond appropriately. But wait until they get to finish talking. Now, have we said that before? There's a reason we're repeating that, because it's hard to do. And for some of us, it's harder than others. And again, we need to keep ourselves engaged, ask questions, we said, for clarification if we need it, but don't rudely interrupt. There's a passage that I love in Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 11, and I'm pushing on trying to get through this, so the lesson will soon be yours. But Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 11, like apples of gold and settings of silver, is a word spoken in right circumstances. Have you ever been in a situation where maybe you were struggling along and feeling anxious about something, and somebody just spoke maybe the right word, they said a little something, and it just took the pressure off of you. It just helped, a word fitly spoken. Now, most of the time for a person to speak that way, that means they've had to be listening and observing what's going on. There was a situation at home where I was dealing with some problems some years ago, and I was sitting in the pew before I was getting ready to preach, and I was sitting there, was sort of antsy, moving around a little bit, and a brother behind me just reached up and he put his hand on my shoulder. He's just saying, "We're with you, brother." And I calmed down. Walked up, did my business, and went on about it. He communicated to me, and I was listening. That's what this proverb, you know, along with many other things, is telling us. That the appropriate word at the right time can make all the difference in the world. Husbands, we need to learn that about our wives. Whether we've been married a short time or a long time, sometimes, you know, they just need the right word at the right time. And sometimes it's the other way around. I need to hear that from my wife. She's my greatest friend, my best supporter, but we deal with this in such a way that we can be helpful. Like apples of gold and settings of silver is a word spoken in right circumstances. Another thing about communication is we can be honest and not tell everything that you know or think that you know about situation. You can do that without being dishonest. I'm not saying lie. But there are sometimes they need this amount of information to help them, and that amount of information is going to be hurtful instead of helpful to them. That's going to take some wisdom on your part, and love will compel you to do that. And then maybe at a later occasion, maybe the rest of this will be dealt with if it needs. But in good communication, as we listen and as we communicate, these kinds of things can be helpful because the other can be destructive. It is written that Socrates pretended to ignorance in order to encourage others to express their full views. And so he would say, well, you know, how do you think this works? He knew all about all this. And, you know, I did that to my sons. I can remember on an occasion, I was working on something in my garage that was a little bit complicated. And Jason was about this tall. And I was thinking, now, how can I explain that to my son? About that time he spoke up, he says, Dad, does this connect to that and that connect to this and this do this and that do that? I said, well, yeah, it does. He perceived a lot more than what I thought, and frankly, than most kids would at that age. He has a knack at that. And sometimes people are that way. Sometimes we don't give them due credit. They understand more than we give them credit for. And so, but on the other side, we don't want to assume that they understand things where we're not going to be able to go where we need to be with the conversation. We need to have mutual understanding, take them from where they are to where they need to be. And sometimes, again, we have to be thick-skinned. People say things that you don't like, as I already alluded to a moment ago. But the first question, again, that we should always ask, is it true? We can't be so fragile that we're like a house of cards, that we're just knocked over and useless after that. We have to have enough character and backbone where we fail to ask God to forgive us. Well, there's lots of good fruit that comes from listening. Again, my boys, many years ago at the house, I don't remember which one it was, we had L.A. Stouffer, a good friend of ours, at the house. He was holding a gospel meeting and staying with us. But my boys were chattering along, and L.A. told one of them, he says, son, you don't learn anything while you're talking. They needed to hear that lesson. And it was true, and they quieted down. Of course, they could learn a lot, and they listened pretty well. But I appreciate that. And so when we are listening and not talking, oftentimes we have an opportunity to learn a great deal. And it, as I said, it affects many relationships. It affects me. And if I'm talking all the time, then I'm not going to be learning what other people have to teach me. And I'll just be honest with you, other people have a lot to teach me. Men and women alike, sometimes young and old alike. You can learn from all kinds of things. Go back and read the Proverbs. Wisdom shouts from the gate and from the rooftop. And so I've just got to listen. It affects the relationship with my mate, as I've talked about. And when I listen effectively as I should, oftentimes what will happen is it will open up communication in a new way and allow you to draw closer and closer together. And it will be a blessing to both of you and to your family, to my brethren and to my neighbor in the lost world. It helps me with my understanding and my respect. And it gives me the prospect to be able to help others. It gives me enlightenment and a lot of other things that we could say down through here. But in conclusion, I want to say this. There are some people that have great people skills, but they don't have much character. There are some people that they have great gift to gab and they can do this. But what we want to do is be people of character, people that care, people of love, and people that can communicate and convey these things, and especially that we can convey the love of God for them. And so we ask in closing, do I listen to others? Do I listen to God? And do I listen to my conscience and do what's right? I need to listen. And if we'll be humble enough to do that, humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God, then He will lift you up.